fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chop.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grilling Guys.
Welcome. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Happy weekend, Jethro listeners and all the rest of our affiliates. We appreciate you tuning in each and every Saturday. This is Deer Camp weekend. We're recording the show early because Barbecue Bob is headed north to Whippleton and going to be up there shaking up the trees. But I'm Jop and he is Barbecue Bob. What's cooking?
That's good. Whippleton, I like that. Yeah, headed up to, I think I'm in Newaygo County. Barely. I'm like on the convergence of Lake Newaygo and Mecosta counties.
Yeah, right.
So I'm
bastion of huge economic development.
It is. There, right? It is. Yeah. It's a value right now.
Right.
Soon to get better.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So can't wait. Thanks for coming in and listening to us or wherever you are. But really, thanks to Jop for coming in early and recording this with me because I'm itching.
Yeah.
As soon as I get out of here, I'm going home. My wife's got things for me to do, and she's going to have such a sad look when I tell her what's really going to happen.
Yeah, well, I doubt it, but she'll get over it. She's seen this happen before.
Yeah.
I can't believe she doesn't expect it, right?
Well,
I mean,
she does,
every
but
year.
She's you know, it's the same. You know,
right.
She's a good girl, and she does better without me than
right.
with me, and you can understand that.
I can. Yeah.
She's got a... Our daughter, Emily, I guess I can tell now, she's been working on a project with the Food Network. She does the show Chopped.
Yep.
She's the makeup artist, and she's now friends with all of them, and they're having a...
The Choppers?
Yeah.
That was a fraternity at Ferris when I was up there, the Choppers.
Reel it back in.
Yeah.
So she's memory lane. Anyway, they get done recording. They've been working. She's been out there for 3 months in New York, and... I guess at a season they record all at once.
Yeah.
And like in December, it's done and they have a party to celebrate it all. And she is flying my bride out there to party with them.
Oh, there you go.
Of course.
Yeah, you didn't get that invite, right?
No.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
We don't need a Trumpster out there.
Yeah, that and a guy that actually knows a little bit about cooking. You don't want to be putting him in the middle of these celebrity cooks, right? Yeah.
Who's this guy?
Right, yeah. But I noticed you do have the collar pop today. So,
oh, that's just because I took my keychain off.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought maybe it was a new trend in what was going on in Bob's deer camp world.
No.
Just getting prepped.
No,
right?
I don't have any gator camo either.
Yeah.
Izod camo.
Right.
Hey.
Yeah, right. There you go. Could be a thing.
But my mule is at deer camp, camoed and ready to go. It's
chained to a tree?
Yep.
Yeah.
She's staged and ready, and gosh, I can't wait. I got so much good stuff going on. I haven't been up there in a couple weeks, so the deer are all settled down, and they're not getting harassed.
Right.
At least on our property.
Well, yeah, you don't know who else has been in there, but there's always that.
No, right? It's kind of hard to get in there, and all the cousins, there's like 400 acres there, and they're all getting older, and hardly any of them are even going up.
Right.
And the guys across the street are all – everybody's getting old.
Well, yes, we are. That's the way that works. But
so I thought we always do steak. We do backstrap to death. I don't want to talk about any of that. But here's one thing a lot of guys end up with, and I think maybe Conrad might understand this part because this is kind of right up your alley. Don't we all just love burger?
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's so easy.
Yep.
So when you do a deer, very often you'll get a bunch of venison. If you're smart, you'll get a bunch of burger because you don't want to throw away all those little pieces that don't look so attractive as a steak. But you grind them up and you throw a little beef fat in with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I recommend, you know, if you do, I don't know, I buy my own cows. I always get these big packs of suet. I recommend beef fat for venison versus pork. There's something wrong when you mix pork with venison. It just, I don't know.
Yeah. So the beef is better. Just gives it a little bit different flavor. And you know, you can get scientific about mixing that in, or you can just go by the look. You know, the fat is flavor, which is part of, not that venison doesn't have its own flavor. It certainly does. but the fat adds moisture, and it's kind of savory a little bit. And so you put that in there and mix it in, and it does two things. Adds a different flavor profile, but it also adds the moisture so that you're not eating hockey pucks when you cook it up, right? So the combination of that and ground in with it, not just a slab of it on the top, but right. You got to grind it in and make it part of the mixture.
Yeah, and that's a great point. And the same thing is if you're going to do a combo for, like if you're making, let's say, meatballs, and you want to do veal and pork or pork and venison or pork and beef, any of that, cut your meat up into chunks and mix it before you throw it in the grinder.
Yeah. Yep.
And I would take it a step further and say even throw your seasoning in there and mix the seasoning with it and grind that all together.
Yeah. That's how a lot of sausages are made, is the seasonings are mixed right in with the meat.
And you run it through one time and then be very careful with it as you're forming your meatballs and stuff so they don't end up like leather. But we're going to talk about just doing burgers. We're going to talk about tacos, which who doesn't love tacos?
Yep.
I think that's the only...
Very popular food.
Yeah, and as I buy equipment for the takeout and I go into all these places, the people buying restaurant equipment, and Conrad just mentioned, you know, several are closing. I'll tell you ones that aren't closing, Mexican.
Right.
Because the taco is the rule. Yeah. Everybody wants tacos.
Well, and they're affordable, too.
So we're going to talk venison tacos.
Okay.
And we're going to do meatloaf, and we got all kinds of stuff planned here to use your venison, ground venison
with.
Yeah,
well, let me take a little diversion, because on Wednesday morning, I got a phone call and was asked to go to a public hunting area. It's called Rose Lake. It's over by Bath, Michigan, north and east of Lansing. And the DNR, there's a field office there. And there's about 600 acres of grass and woods that are all public hunting over there. And I was unaware of this, but the buddy that called, the DNR has been planting 120 pheasant in that field twice a week for the last 4 weeks.
Why?
So that you can hunt them. And it's a hunter program. You buy a $25 tag, and you go there, and you can hunt them. And, you know, the pheasant population is down, always has been for the last 15, 20 years.
So why don't you just plant them and not hunt them?
Well, because the idea is...
Let them have sex, Conrad.
No, the thing is,
don't
though,
drag
honestly...
me into this.
If you do that, the predators will take half of them within a week. They don't... They're pen raised.
Well, you got to feed the predators.
Right, yep. Exactly. So you got an answer.
DNR brought them in, too.
Right. Yeah. Well, these are coyotes.
Feed the wolves.
But anyway, had a lot of fun. Shot our limit of birds and had a good time over there. But it was just unique that they're doing it. The pheasant season stops the day before the deer season, and then it picks up again in the month of December, and they're going to be doing it again. So I just thought it was a really cool resource. You got a hunting dog, a bird dog.
So you shot some pheasant?
Yeah, right.
How many?
Four. Well, you can get two a guy.
What'd you do with them?
They're home in the freezer right now. But, yeah, so...
What do you got planned for those pheasants?
We're going to cook them. Yeah, but that's not what the show's about. But I just wanted everybody to know that this program is out there, because I've been a bird hunter my whole life, and I didn't know it was out there. And so we had a nice workout with...
No, it's usually private when they do that. I mean, it's, you know... Like,
yeah, you're at a club.
Tails of Wagon and places we've been
right.
Like that.
That's why it's different. This is a public program, and you had to buy, a $25 permit to get access to it. But
that's nothing.
There was probably, 40 guys out there when we were there
on a
Wednesday morning, at daybreak.
Wow.
So it's popular. It's pretty cool. But anyway, something to do if you've got a bird dog, because indigenous birds aren't really that plentiful around here. You can find them, but you got to know right where.
Yeah, it must have sounded like it does where I bow hunt, when the ducks are taking off in the morning, because it's boom, 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 boom.
Yeah, there was quite a bit of shooting. It was fun. But anyway, coming up next, we're going to dive into some venison recipes. If it's ground, it's down.
Yeah. So we're going to also cover stroganoff. Who doesn't love stroganoff?
Yeah. I don't usually do that with ground meat.
I know.
We're going to hear your recipe.
I know,
one.
But you know what? I'm sorry. I had to write this show under duress because I'm more worried about I'm picking up my cot when I leave here.
Oh, and just make sure no water drips on it, because your sleeping bag will freeze to it.
So I had to make this show based on everything I love.
All right, Bob's off to deer camp. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Barbecue Bob here for the local hunting, fishing, and archery experts at Allen Bob Sports. The freshest, tastiest proteins you can put on the grill or in the smoker are the ones you harvest yourself. And Allen Bob Sports is everything you need to be a success in the field or on the water. For everything from bows and crossbows to firearms and fishing, go to Allen Bob Sports, now partnered with Millbrook Tack, just off US 131, exit 76, or shop online at millbrooktack.com.
Hi, this is Jim, founder of Schmoe's Brewing Company. We're a small, family-owned brewery that serves the Grand Rapids neighborhoods. We do things a bit differently at Schmoe's, sort of old school. We make all the styles of beer true to style. That's our focus. So you want to relax and enjoy a well-made craft beer that tastes like a craft beer is supposed to taste, stop into Schmoe's. We're located in Cascade on Patterson Ave, right before the ice rink. Or check us out at schmoes.com. We're open every day but Sunday.
With the grilling guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the grilling guy rake, hit the brakes, it's going to be big. Stick around and put down the rake.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, we're recording a couple days early this week because Barbecue Bob's headed off to deer camp. And I guess what he's thinking is he's going to bring some of last year's ground venison with him because he's put together a show plan here that has a lot of recipes using
time
ground
out,
meat.
Time out, dude. Did you forget?
What did I forget?
Last year I went 0-for-0.
Well, that's okay.
The only ground meat in my is what I bought from the butcher shop.
Right. Yep. So
no, I you know, on it, I was just saying that earlier that I, you know, tend to write these things based on what I like if you and I aren't collaborating and I got to do it kind of under duress. This was sort of one of those things, and it's like, okay, we never talk about ground venison. We're always, you know, we all glory to the backstrap and the steak, and,
right,
you know, we talk about corn roasts and stuff like that, making corned venison out of it. But it's like, I know a lot of guys who end up giving a lot of ground venison away because they just, I think they lack imagination, or they have too much of it, or
right,
their wife doesn't like it, or they don't like it.
Yep.
They just shoot it because they're murderers.
Yeah, right. I know, that's how you roll. That's why I got a softer heart. That's why I don't deer hunt much anymore. Yeah.
Well, that's okay. You're a soft touch, and people like that about you.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I thought the burger side was something that people are very often afraid of. What do you think about that?
Well, they think it's a little strong. They think it's a little dry.
Which is so crazy.
And neither are the case if you mix it with, as we mentioned in the previous segment, a little bit of beef fat. And that is a very natural thing. I mean, you go to the big box stores, they got a number on your burger now. It's 80-20,
yeah.
It's 87-13,
yeah.
It's 90-10.
Right.
The higher that first number gets, that's the lean meat, and the lower is the other meat is the fat. And if you want a really tasty burger, then nothing beats an 80-20 in my world.
I will give you one of my world rules, and that is if you're buying ground meat in a big box store.
Well, that wasn't the point. I'm just saying that's where you see it.
I know that. I'm giving a warning to the advisor. If you ever want to do a medium rare or a rare burger, you should not be buying your meat in a big box store,
right?
Because it's going through the burger factory, and those machines are notoriously full of E. coli, and you don't want that. That's not a software language.
It's regulated. I don't think you have to worry too much about that. But on the other hand, you can get it. People get it.
That's why they tell you you should cook it to 165, is because they're worried about it too.
Yeah.
So anyway.
So go to Sobe Meats.
There you go.
Right? And you got a butcher shop that follows very, very strict protocol.
And everybody has a favorite butcher. Conrad, over in Spring Lake, do you have a butcher?
They closed the place. So I go to Sobe's.
That was it's top on, butcher,
right,
wasn't it?
It's on the way. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Sobe, there you go. So if you're making a venison burger, very carefully again, you don't want to over massage this meat, ground meat as a rule. You don't want to mix it up like mom did with the bread dough. You want to break it up into pieces, put your sea salt and herbs on it, black pepper. I like a little bit of Roquefort, a little crumbled cheese of some sort that people will like. You can use
Roquefort is a blue cheese.
Yep.
And that's got a strong flavor. If you like it, you love it. And usually there's not a lot of middle ground. People aren't like, oh, it's
well,
all right.
Well, you don't put that much in it.
Right. Oh, are you mixing it in the
Yeah, I'm mixing it in.
Okay.
And that's going to give me a little bit of fat. I'm also going to take some Old World Olive Company's garlic EVO,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to put that on top of it and massage that in nicely with it, too. And then when I fry it...
EVO's extra virgin olive oil, for those of you that don't know. So he's putting a little oil on there to get moisture. So one, it doesn't stick, but two, it gives it a flavor profile.
But I'm also one of those guys who hoards bacon grease.
Yeah.
And I might put a few little dollops of that in there if I don't have the EVO I want.
Right, yep.
And that works wonderfully.
Yeah.
And then, you know, just when you press them out on your wax paper, there's your chance to use a little bit of bacon fat. And you put a little bit on the wax paper, you press that thing down there, and then you put a little wax paper on the other side, and you bring it out in these little sleeves like that, and it keeps a little bit of grease on that venison before you throw it on the grill because, man, they just want to stick to your grates.
Well, they're lean, right?
Yep.
And that's why, and they dry out quick, the very lean meat, which is, again, why you want that. And what Bob's saying is we're putting a fat profile, whether it be olive oil, whether it be bacon grease, whether it be beef fat. You're putting in a profile in that that's going to draw and retain moisture.
So let's talk about tacos.
Okay.
Are you a taco maker?
Yeah. You know what? I think that if you've been listening for a while, earlier this summer I got one of those Blackstone griddles. Right?
No, you're kidding me.
And ever since I've gotten...
I've also got a contract for Blackstone. Right,
but ever since I purchased that, I've been making more tacos. Because
really?
it's easier than... I like that thing because I got a big cooking surface. I can clean it up easy.
You're not
in
the kitchen.
It's outside. Yep. And so I've been using that to do a lot of things. And tacos is one that I've done several times. And here's the reason why. I really enjoy grilling the tortilla, okay, and giving it, making it hot, getting it bubbly a little bit, and a little bit of a toasted profile.
Absolutely.
And I can do that. I don't have to have three pans going on the stove. I can do it all in front of me on the griddle.
I think you've created a new phenomenon.
No, I haven't. I'm just telling you, for me.
It's called Blackstone Envy, and I'm getting it.
Yeah, right. But I'll take that. Again, Old World Olive Company has these flavor-infused olive oils, and I just brush a little bit. They've got some spicier ones, and I like lime. I think that's a good profile with tacos, and they have a lime-infused olive oil. And I brush a little bit of that on there when I grill those tortillas, and it just gives them a great flavor.
Oh, you don't use canola oil?
No, I just use the lime. And people that have eaten them, they kind of like tilt their head a little bit when they take that first bite. They're like, "That's really good. What is that?"
Mm-hmm.
Right? And it's just got a little lime profile on it. It's just something different.
I say canola in sarcasm because it's one of the worst oils you can eat.
Yeah.
If you want to stay healthy, check out our friends at Old World and get some great EVOs and balsamics.
So
we use the heck out of them.
Yeah. So, again, I'm not selling griddles, but I get that the ground beef cooked up. That is it Cojita cheese, the white cheese that comes in a little circle and it breaks away and it's really crumbly? Cojita?
Chihuahua?
Yeah, no, you can get it in, the Hispanic markets and the Mexican markets, and it generally comes, it's white and it's crumbled, but anyway, I think it's a goat milk cheese maybe, but it's really crumbly.
Right.
Not too strong.
It makes for a great presentation.
Right.
On your taco.
So you throw that on there and throw a little dome over top of it, and it kind of just like melts a little bit into that taco meat, and it's like, you sauteed vegetables, whatever it is.
I got
you
a
like.
Trick for you too. When you've got your shell flipped, throw that cheese on there right then.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
And then when you put your meat on there, you've got cheese. Now you've got a cheese layer. It's not falling off your taco.
Right.
So when you put the meat on it, it just starts to melt. It's like a street taco, really, is what you call that.
Yeah. Nice.
And you can do an extra shell if you like, if you want to walk around with them, and you can do a double wrap. You can put the cheese between them. Go to Taco Bell. They'll show you how to do all that stuff.
The reason I like soft tacos rather than hard is because when you bite the hard ones, they break up, and then you got a mess. But if you put a soft one over the top,
there you go.
You got the crunchy, you still got control,
there
man.
You go.
That's the way it works.
Ding! Yeah. I heard the Taco Bell.
Right. But anyway, coming up next, don't let your meatloaf. Bob's going to camp. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Fen Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fenville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine, Fen Valley Vineyards.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
Now hit me!
The Grillin' Guys.
Welcome back. You listen to Grillin' Guys. We're recording a couple days early this week because Barbecue Bob's headed to deer camp. And,
oh, yeah. Now I remember what it was.
Okay. What is it?
So why is Bob going up north for deer camp when the opener isn't till Wednesday next week?
Well, it's the best bow hunting right now.
Oh.
The rut is on. And okay. If you'll find the 5 days before rifle starts is the best, in my opinion, time to bow hunt because the bucks are crazy and the girls are running around stunned. They're just, they're hot and they're walking through the woods.
I think the cold,
it's breeding season.
Yes,
the cold
is.
Snap is going to help you too because
right,
the big
yeah.
cold snap down the 20s.
It gets them moving.
Up, yeah.
yeah, it gets them right, moving. Yep. That's
the,
about
the
all.
The season opens Tuesday, but you got to go up and you got to get your camp set. And we're here on Thursday, so Bob's going to, you know, head up after the show here, and then, you know, he gets settled in and make sure that his stands are all ready
oh,
to go.
Oh, those are tuned, baby. I got
the,
placement. You
the office
believe.
Chairs are lubed up a little bit
yes.
so they don't squeak
oh,
when you pivot.
Right. Yes.
Come on.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. So Tuesday.
I have everybody set. I'm the, what,
camp director.
Camp coordinator.
You're the
yeah,
camp director.
So I have these two... good buddies, my brother-in-law and my buddy, and they don't get around so well. So I'm the monkey,
right?
Well, I'm yeah. climbing the trees.
You
I'm,
certainly
I'm,
are.
I'm
yeah, right.
Yeah. Ted's dad gave me that name when he saw me in a tree.
Yeah.
So Randy, do meatloaf.
Do meatloaf,
and don't play a song. Either.
No, I won't. Meatloaf is something that is just one of my favorite comfort foods on earth. You can do a lot of things
no
with
kidding.
Meatloaf. But a couple things, again, if you're doing a ground venison, you're going to need some fat in it, which we talked about. I don't want to beat that horse anymore, but, what I would do is pick, you know, there's recipes all over the internet, but the one thing that I like to do with a venison meatloaf is wrap it in bacon, and you can do a weave or you can just lay strips over the top, however you want to do that. But
what if you don't want a bacon meatloaf?
Well, then I think that you've got to work hard to cover it with a sauce or something
like
to keep
that.
It from drying out.
I like
out,
that.
Right?
My mom used to put ketchup on them.
Right. Yep. She did that.
Isn't that
her,
the way we
She did
up?
That on her pasties, too, didn't
well,
she?
Well, that and when they're done. But, I mean, before she would bake a meatloaf, she would just smother it in ketchup.
Right.
And, man, they were good. Did your mom do that, Conrad?
Yep. Oh, yeah, exactly.
I think all moms did back
right.
in the
Yeah, well, just stretched it out and it gave it some flavor
yeah.
and... You know, I don't know about your mom, but my mom didn't cook with a lot of spices. It was
right.
salt and pepper
salt
and maybe a little garlic once in a while. But so that, you know, that gave flavor and it was easy to do and squirt it on there, spread it out and let her bake.
Well, my grandma was a camp cook in the UP in the lumber camps and she was from France and she was a phenomenal cook and she taught my mom a lot of her cooking techniques. So they probably used a lot more herbals than most people
right, right.
did.
Yep.
Aromatics.
Yep, exactly. But that meatloaf, don't pack it too hard. You want to just form it in the loaf and set it in the pan. I've done them on the smoker as well, so however you want to do it. But if you pack them in too tight, they get tough.
And well, if you and, leave and that's a dish, yeah. It, it, It's not as good as a leftover. Venison meatloaf is not as good as a leftover as it when it's hot.
Right.
Because it does dense up and dry up.
Right. Yep. But, you know, you can mix vegetables in it if you want onions, bell pepper, mushrooms, whatever you want to do.
Perfect.
Generally, a pretty small dice.
Yeah.
That's because you want them to heat through and you don't want to bite into a big rubbery mushroom.
Well, here's what I find. If your veggies are too big in meatloaf, the meatloaf doesn't stay together.
Right. Right. Yep. So falls apart.
You got to take your time chopping. So it's going to take a glass of wine to chop your veggies.
Little jalapeno in there, too. Those are good.
Yeah.
And
making
spice
me hungry.
Yeah, spice it up a little bit. I think you were hungry when you got here.
I was.
Yeah.
I told you to make me breakfast.
Right.
Okay, how about stroganoff? I'll do stroganoff because my kids grew up eating beef stroganoff, and I generally used to do it with cubed up sirloin.
Yeah, it's the best way to do it, in my opinion.
But when you start doing kids, then, you know, we had five of them, so you had to make a fair amount of everything. And back in those days, I'd get home at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, so I could have dinner ready by 5:30, and Mama got home, and we were all good to go.
Right.
So I started doing a lot of ground beef things and ground turkey and ground, you know, anything ground was good for me. Stroganoff, really simple. I tend to be probably a robot in the kitchen. I do a lot of the same things. You know that I love about everything. And stroganoff happens to call for it. But
seems
it also
like I always run out of it.
Yeah. I've got lots. I just picked mine from the garden the other day. Yeah. I know that was a joke. But here's the deal with stroganoff. You're going to use paprika. And you're going to use mushrooms again. Although you can't do it if your kids don't like them. So force them to like them. And then you're going to make kind of a gravy out of it. And then right at the last minute,
do you use for your gravy base?
If you want to get really fancy, you can make some homemade egg noodles, and those are really killer. For gravy base, you've got enough beef broth and everything in there. So I'm typically going to use Better Than Bouillon and some water.
I would put, do you use like a can of cream of mushroom soup in it to thicken it up?
No.
Sour cream?
No, I'm not a can of anything guy, except when we did those cheesy potatoes because all the recipes call for it. But at the very last minute, when your noodles are al dente and you're ready to serve it, that's when you put your sour cream on, just at the last minute. You blend that in lightly. And you bring it out with maybe a little glob of it in the middle of the bowl. So when the kids look at it, they all want to fight for that ball of sour cream.
Right.
It's a treasure.
So you've got some onion in that as well, right? And then are you dicing that up pretty small or a little bit chunkier?
I'm just going to do a standard saute chop.
Okay, so you got mushrooms, onion. Now you got to thicken it up a little bit, maybe with some cornstarch. So
it's
gravy-like,
flour and milk,
gravy-like rather than watery.
I used to do cornstarch, but I found that if you have leftovers, the flour-based gravy tends to present a little bit better. Cornstarch wants to turn it into Jello,
thicken it up. That's what it does. So it's just, like you said, it depends on
how much
of it
no
you use.
It's no big deal.
Right.
You know, my wife got me doing that. I made stew last night. And I actually used her recipe to a certain extent because she's part Irish and English, and you know how they like their stew. It's just a certain way.
Yeah. Yep. But the stroganoff is now you make that in a skillet or?
I do. I use my big
cast skillet.
Yeah.
So you cook the meat first.
One pan we use in our house.
Yeah. Yeah. As we mentioned earlier, we are doing this a little early this week. It's Thursday as we're recording, and you're hearing it on Saturday. Friday night, I've got a gig. I'm cooking some whole prime ribs, but the skillet made me think of it. Bob bought me a 24-inch skillet, just goes in my oven, a big cast iron skillet with two handles on each side.
From Lodge.
Right, and it weighs probably 25 pounds. I'm not exaggerating a bit.
To worry about your wife hitting you over the head.
Right, right. Can't get it above her waist. Yeah. But anyway, we are making, as I speak to you now, it will be done and served by the time you hear this, but we are making a caramel apple cobbler to serve to these guys.
So you're letting your bride make that?
Yes, I am. She's the baker in the family. But it's coming out in that 24-inch skillet. Oh, man.
You got to get some pictures, man.
I will. I'll take some pictures and we'll post that stuff. But when it said skillet, it just popped into my mind. I had to share it. She got a caramel apple cobbler mix with pecans in it.
Is she going up to help you serve?
No, because this is not a... This is. I'm just going up.
20 men and one woman. That's a bad combo.
Right? Yeah. No, she's not going to be there. But we're making it ahead. We're making it Friday morning, and then I'll. And we're actually going to bake it, and then I'm just going to reheat it in the smoker when we're ready to eat it. So put a little French vanilla ice cream on there. Oh man,
you're going to smoke the ice cream?
But, yeah. Right. Yeah. They don't know this is coming, so they're going to hear it after. They're going to know after the show. But anyway, yeah. That's my little surprise to all the guys up there, and I think it's going to turn out great. But anyway. All right, coming up next, meatballs, goulash, and a little shepherd's pie. Yeah, Bob will ride me on that one. So you're listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network, Jethro FM.
I love shepherd's pie. Why do you say that?
I don't know. I think I remember. I could go back and find that episode. But anyway, stick with us. We'll be back.
Hey, it's Barbecue Bob. My wife and I recently built a new addition to our home and remade the kitchen. We went to Garrett's and picked out all of our products so that everything would fit in his space well. The selection was from best price to best quality, and the service was great. The delivery team was courteous and careful. Go to Garrett's Appliance, and while you're there, check out the huge selection of top brands of grills and smokers from North America. Garrett's Appliance, where families serve families. Garrett'sAppliance.com.
Hey, this is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
And I like fire.
The Grilling Guys.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Grilling Guys. Thanks for tuning in. Bob, where are we on the radio, man? We're everywhere, right? We're on social media. Give us a rundown on that.
Yeah, well, we're WJIM in Lansing,
right?
And they like us so much they play us twice,
yep.
Saturday and Sunday. Of course, WBRN up in Big Rapids, so all the Bulldogs and all of my old homies in Reed City and
Cranker.
Big Rapids can get tortured once a week by the sound of my voice.
Right.
I do get feedback from those people, my old classmates. It's fun. And then, of course, I can listen to it at Deer Camp.
Oh, really?
Saturday morning, yeah.
Yeah, that's nice.
BRN.
Yeah, all our Jethro stations all over West Michigan and Southwest Michigan. So it's just kind of fun. Are you still on Twitter now that Elon owns it?
Okay. Yeah, still on Twitter.
All right.
I post again because... I think they were.
They removed it. They removed the
because
the restriction.
I bitched about. It started when I was bitching about Obama.
Yeah, right.
Notice I was like dropping in likes.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's no big deal. It's supposed to be a food channel.
Right.
But it's Twitter, so people love to rage on Twitter.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm guilty, but I'm done with all that. I just don't care anymore.
So meatballs.
That's your deal.
Is it?
Yeah.
Meatballs and meatloaf are
same
cousins. Yep. The meatballs, though, I tend to like them with a little bit sweeter profile on them. My favorite is a crushed pineapple in like a barbecue sauce that I mix together.
I'm the one who lived in Hawaii. What's this pineapple thing?
I'm just
up
liking
all the
it,
time.
Man.
You're,
with
you're
and
like
maybe a little
to take
heat.
My gig, I think.
You know, there's a barbecue sauce out there called Blue's Hog.
Yeah,
and nice. You can get it at Sobey's. You can probably get it at other Garrett's.
He
other
was a
places.
Friend of Rob Russell's.
Right, but that is a little bit citrusy, a little bit heat, maybe berries more than citrus. Flavor, and you put that little pineapple in that, man, and runs that as a glaze over top of some meatballs,
mm-hmm.
and they're great. Venison meatballs,
here's
again, mix
deal.
The fat in.
Here's another deal for meatballs. Of course, forming them is a big deal, but you can actually set those on a grilling basket or something like that, and you can throw those in the smoker.
Right.
And that's a wonderful way. Smoke
another
meatballs,
flavor profile.
Yeah, beautiful. Goulash.
Ooh, this is you, Lush.
I love goulash. And you know what? There's an awful lot of the traditional goulash, Tony from Vicky's Pasty in Saranac, his wife was from Hungary.
Oh.
And she made us real goulash.
Hungarian
goulash?
It's nothing
goulash. Like, yeah, it's nothing like what we make.
Right.
No, it was potatoes and I think carrots and maybe some sort of root vegetables and beef roast in this beautiful red gravy and full of paprika. And it was fantastic, but it was more like a stew.
Right.
But the way we make it here in America is we use ground beef very often. Or you can use steak or whatever, but we're talking ground venison. So you take this goulash profile, and I ripped this one off. This is not my version. So it's going to have some garlic, onion, tomato paste, water, sliced mushrooms, 6 large sliced mushrooms, some grape balsamic vinegar, grapefruit, sorry. Little chili powder, salt, Worcestershire, shredded cheese, optional on top if you like. I always did the cheese on top when I fed the kids this.
Yeah, love me some elbow macaroni,
yeah.
Man. That just takes you back to being
and
a kid,
and who got you
man.
Doing that? Hamburger what? Helper.
Right, yeah, yeah, exactly. But, yeah, and those elbow macaronis are not overdone, so they go flat.
Right.
They got to stay
yes.
just enough so
yeah.
the tube gets the
yep.
the juice inside. Oh,
stirred
man, that's
in,
making my mouth
you're
water.
Done. Conrad, when you were a kid and you got left home alone, did you ever make hamburger helper?
I don't think so.
You no. never got left home alone?
I got left home alone a lot, but it
never
was...
hamburger helper?
Though. No, he made a call.
Domino's. Hello.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we were country kids. We didn't have that option. It was
right.
Like, you couldn't. I mean, first it was a party line, so if you could get out.
Yep.
Right.
Now, here's Randy's favorite, and that's shepherd's pie. Go ahead, Randy.
Yeah, right. Shepherd's pie. Is there a recipe here somewhere?
No, it's yours.
Oh, thank
this
you.
This is your deal.
Thank you. So shepherd's pie is mashed potatoes with stuff in it. And one of the things that
peas.
Yep. So that let's coordinate on this.
Yeah.
Your shepherd's pie in your world. I have peas and onion and diced or cubed carrots.
Exactly.
In there,
yep.
And then you're going to put that in a stew base. Again, I'm with Bob. The bouillon and a water base. You don't want it too wet, but enough that you can get the vegetables cooked. And at the same time, you got a pot of potatoes boiling. And you're going to, you know, cleaned them and cubed them up because you're going to make mashed potatoes out of them, right? So you get this base boiled down, cooked down a little bit, and then you can do this with your ground beef. Don't cook it in the sauce, but cook the ground beef and add it to the sauce, ground venison in today's. So now I've got my carrots, onions, and I don't usually use mushrooms in it, but put the ground beef in there, and then we put mashed potatoes over the top of it and then put it in the oven. And I use I've used a Dutch oven to do this, right, Bob? Forever I've been doing this like that.
There's some history here is what you're telling me.
You should be selling life insurance, not health insurance.
Well, that was a healthy recipe. Come on.
Yeah.
You gotta brown the top of the mashed potatoes
right.
to make it look nice. Right.
Yes. Yes. Yep. Yes. Good point.
And then when you
gets
when
a
you,
little crispy too.
Yeah. And when you serve it and I might put a little sour cream and garlic in those mashed potatoes before I put them on there just to give it a little bit of flavor.
So I've had it before. Now, this was never a dish in our house, so I've only had it when other people served it. But I've actually cut into it where I saw the ground beef was at the bottom, or the ground venison
right.
in this case, and then the vegetables, and then the potatoes. It was like a
layer dip.
Yeah, it was kind of like that.
Yeah, right.
But so. I like the thought of using a gravy of sorts and putting all that together at the bottom. It gives you a little more, it gives you, for one thing, it's got to stay together on the fork when you're eating it.
Oh, yeah.
If you got all that loose burger and loose
right.
veggies,
yeah,
you're going to have a hard time getting it in the pie hole.
Man, making
it's
my,
good.
Making my mouth water. Yeah, that sounds really good. But I haven't had it in a long time, but I bet I'm going to make it sometime soon now because that sounds really
good. Well, maybe
good.
I'll shoot an extra deer and get you
yeah,
some
Yeah, okay, great.
Venison.
Yeah, thanks. We'll do that.
You know, and potatoes. I got potatoes because I planted potatoes this year.
Really?
First time ever.
Yeah. And
yeah.
They came, and they, you got a good crop, or don't you know yet?
It was just okay. Yeah. I didn't get plant seed potatoes.
Oh.
I just cut some up that I had that were starting to go funky in the lower refrigerator. They worked.
Yeah.
I mean, they said it wouldn't, but they did.
Yeah. Must be not loaded with preservatives, right?
Good. Oh, I don't know. I think they got some way to sterilize them or something before they sent them out to you.
Right.
Yeah.
I used to do business up in Petoskey, and on the way up there on 131,
oh, yeah.
you got up there in that Elba area. Man, there was like 10 miles on both sides of the roads that was this Kitchens potato farm.
Well, you know, big Irish families
huge,
up there.
And Edmore's the same way. You get around Edmore and whatever that other town around there is, tons of potato farms.
Right. Yep. And it's amazing because they these fingers run under the ground about 8, 10 inches, and they just convey those potatoes up, and the dirt falls back into the field, and they
When we used to grow potatoes, and we had the biggest garden in the world, but we would actually go by, and we would have to furrow the dirt from the aisle up onto the plants, and keep building the plants up, and that way you had these mounds.
Right.
So when you harvested your potatoes, you were literally just tearing a mound apart.
Right. Put a pitchfork under there and pick them up, shake them off, and
we thought
cut
it was tops horrible.
Off. Yeah, right. I remember doing that. My dad had a big garden, too, and he did that. But we've got one more, Bob, and that's breakfast sausage. I don't know as I've ever made breakfast sausage with venison. I made many, many meat sticks, but not breakfast sausage. So thinking that you might want to up the fat content a little bit on that.
You know, you can a little bit, but I didn't think it was possible either until I went to my buddy Kirk Taylor's house up in Reed City. He's a pool guy. He's my pool expert. And
sausage maker, too, evidently.
But he takes his venison to this guy up there that's very famous, and I think he's gone now. But he makes breakfast sausage out of venison, and we spent the night there a couple years ago and got up in the morning, and, you know, he's got venison breakfast sausage, and I'm in denial. I'm like, there's no way this is going to work for me.
Right.
And my wife was like, she wouldn't even eat hers. She took a bite. Yeah. She's like, yeah. But it was fantastic.
Yeah, well, I'm sure sage maybe and a little, you know, things like that are in there. Give it some flavor. But anyway, so, well, there you are. You've been a victim of the ground meat show. And I hope you came out the other end in pieces and parts or all together. But you've been listening to Grilling Guys. You've been listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you tuning in each and every week. Hey, if you're going deer hunting, get out there and enjoy yourself. Be safe, and we'll talk with you next week.
See ya.